Moscow plays a more prominent role in NATO's decision-making process following the establishment of the NATO-Russia Council. And NATO is now preparing to decide on new members later this year, all of which is prompting a lively debate about the alliance's future.
With the Soviet threat gone and the Cold War over, the world has changed dramatically in the 50-plus years since the alliance was founded. Add to that the events of September 11th, and the mission is now so different that some commentators are arguing NATO is effectively out of date. Common Ground's Jesse Brandon has more.
The debate comes as NATO, which was designed to be a defensive alliance, grapples with how to respond to the events of September 11th. U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld's trying to persuade his NATO colleagues that offense is sometimes the best form of defense.
If a terrorist can attack at any time, at any place, using any technique, and it's physically impossible to defend in every place, at every time, against every technique, then one needs to calibrate the definition of defensive.
It's just one of the fundamental questions being asked of an organization which, for most of its existence, prepared to fight a full-scale conventional war in Europe. The North Atlantic Treaty was signed in April 1949, when Soviet expansionism was very much on the minds of leaders in war-torn Western Europe and North America. So 12 nations banded together, promising to treat an attack on one as an attack on all.
If there is anything inevitable in the future, it is the will of the people of the world for freedom and for peace.
Much has changed since U.S. President Harry S. Truman made that speech. As NATO celebrated its 40th birthday in 1989, the Cold War was coming to an end. One year later, the alliance extended the hand of friendship to its former adversaries. In 1990, NATO heads of state and government, including the first president, George Bush, issued what was called the London Declaration.
We say to President Gorbachev, come to NATO. We say to all the member states of the Warsaw Pact, come to NATO, and establish regular diplomatic liaison with the alliance.
These days, Russia has a role, albeit limited, in the alliance's decision-making process, following the creation of a new NATO-Russia Council. Moscow also appears to have softened its opposition to the alliance's eastward expansion. A NATO summit in the Czech capital Prague later this year will decide which of the aspiring nations will be invited to join. The hopefuls include three former Soviet republics, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, right on Russia's borders. Critics say the closer ties with Moscow and the prospect of an even larger NATO membership are undermining the main purpose of the alliance. Ted Galen Carpenter at the Cato Institute in Washington has written about what he calls the folly of NATO enlargement.
NATO is dead, long live the new NATO, but the new NATO is going to be little more than a regional version of the United Nations, kind of a political league of democracies. But as far as military coherence is concerned, I think that's going to become less and less a reality, and certainly it is not going to be a reality outside the European theater.
That said, Mr. Carpenter doesn't believe that the U.S. really needs NATO as it widens the war on terrorism.
What we saw not just in Afghanistan, but earlier than that with the war over Kosovo, and even earlier than that in the Persian Gulf War, is that the United States really didn't need its European allies for military operations, and frankly, they weren't all that useful.
Ted Galen Carpenter also points to the existing disagreements between the U.S. and its European allies over issues like Iraq and the Middle East. Reaching agreement, especially about operations outside Europe, might be expected to get even harder as the alliance expands. But NATO spokesman Yves Brodeur says there's no reason to believe that the decision-making process will fail.
It's obvious that the more people around the table, the more likely the discussions may be. But I don't think that you can presume that at the end it's going to be more difficult to achieve consensus.
And NATO supporters say that while the threats may have changed, the core mission remains the same.
If it's not a military organization, it's nothing.
Says Robert Hunter, who served as U.S. ambassador to NATO from 1993 to 1998. He says the alliance has already shown its continued relevance in the aftermath of 9/11.
When Germany sent some forces into Afghanistan, they arrived on the ground in a brand new country. 36 hours later, they were in combat. Why? Because they knew how to do it with the Americans and with the others, because they were all in NATO.
But the Afghan conflict is not a NATO operation. It's a coalition of nations, which includes members of the alliance, an approach that's widely seen as a model for future actions. For Common Ground, I'm Jesse Brandon.